Blue 20! Blue 20!
It's intentional grounding. Chicago's best Bears breakdown and analysis.
Ice up, son. Ice up.
Now, they are WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue and the Chicago Sun-Times Adam Johns.
Welcome into Intentional Grounding, episode 45, our Gary Fencek episode.
Easy choice.
Absolutely. Got to go with Gary. Good guy, Gary Fencek. Saw him at practice, actually, last week.
Yeah, he was I missed that.
Yeah, he was out of house last week.
Did he address the team at all? I completely missed that.
I don't think so.
No?
I think he addressed Zach Zaman and John Moonmullen.
Good guys to address.
But not the team. So I think that's why he showed up to practice, just to give those guys a pep talk. Now,
Moon can eat it, but go on.
one of the better safeties in Bears history. Got to go with that number 45. Adam Hogue, Adam Johns here, as always. Probably our latest recording of Intentional Grounding we've ever done.
What time is it? What time?
Almost 9 p.m.
I got 8:56.
On a Wednesday evening.
We're dedicated here, though.
Yeah.
Intentional Grounding.
We're trying to sneak this in. It's been a busy, kind of crazy week for both of us, but we do want to get this to you before the preseason finale, but we're not going to focus too much on what's going on technically tomorrow night, probably by the time you listen to this tonight against the Cleveland Browns. Really, we're going to go in a different route today a little bit. We will get to some of the roster decisions that absolutely have to be made and some key injuries that need
some
to be.
Some big ones, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, arguably your best two players.
Yeah.
Might not play week
92
one.
92 and 75, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll get to that as well. But we're going to put a little bit of spin on this since it's kind of a dead week with the fourth preseason game that doesn't really decide a whole lot. Although there is one position where I could see a job being won or lost tomorrow night. We'll get to that later on. We're going to do a little bit of fantasy football episode. We haven't done this before, and we're not going to get too crazy in-depth. We'll take some of your questions. I solicited some questions on Twitter earlier. We'll get to those. But really, we're going to kind of take a Bears fantasy football spin, and which is a little tricky because it's not exactly loaded with fantasy football
No.
But there are some there are some conversations to be had. Of course, Adam Hogue on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Read us at WGNradio.com/BearsChicagoSunTimes.com and find the podcast by searching Intentional Grounding on iTunes. You can subscribe there. Before we get started with the fantasy football, though, I do have to bring up one very, very important item that hasn't been addressed in a very long time, but where's my beer?
It's coming.
Will I get it by next year's draft?
I've been considering holding out just because Christian Hackenberg.
Your least favorite NFL player.
No, I did tell you the other day, and I will share this story for the masses. I went into the Marianos, and I couldn't find it, and I couldn't remember. Actually, I couldn't remember what the deal was for, and I felt so ashamed, or I just did not want to text you to allow you to give me to open the door to all sorts of insults. So I'm just like, I'm going to put this off. His beer is probably somewhere in this Mariano's freezer, but I can't remember it for the life of me. So
it's usually at
I'm
Mariano's.
Just
going to
go get some meat.
It's the Big Wave Golden Ale from Kona Brewing Company.
I'll have to read.
It's the one with the Hawaiian nonsense on the six.
So I would have gotten the wrong one.
Probably.
Yeah.
But at this point, any beer would be better than no beer.
Yeah.
For any of our new
coming here with a 30-pack of Busch Light, you'll be happy.
For any of our new listeners that have caught on since the draft, Adam John still owes me for a bet we made before the draft, which was
I paid up on the Portillo's right away.
Yeah, there was Portillo's involved, and there was a 6-pack of beer, a very specific 6-pack that I requested, and the bet was that Christian Hackenberg would be drafted before the third round, which happened. Sorry, bud. All right, let's get to this fantasy football talk.
It's still unbelievable to me, but let's just go on.
Who is the top fantasy player on the Bears?
I think it's kind of easy. It's Alshon Jeffrey.
Yes.
He is.
If he's healthy.
Okay. I think he's the best receiver in the NFC North, and I think he's a top 10 receiver when healthy.
Now that Calvin Johnson's retired.
Yes.
He is probably.
Jordy Nelson's
injury good, but coming
now.
Off an injury.
Yes.
You know, I think Laquan Treadwell is going to be pretty good in Minnesota, but he's
local
a rookie.
Kid. Yeah.
He's a rookie. So, yeah, I think that's fair
Golden
to say.
Golden Tate? Are you sold on Golden Tate?
No, I mean, no.
So, say Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah.
So, if I had to put number predictions on it, if healthy, I mean, those are the words, when healthy, if healthy, you have to use with him. What do you think about 1,200 yards, 8 touchdowns?
1,200 yards, 8 touchdowns. And looked, that's probably low.
He's looked fantastic.
Yeah, I mean,
the preseason.
I think the goal there is
1,300. It's a lot of yards.
Yeah, it is a lot of yards. 1,200 is fine, but I think touchdown wise, you got to be thinking he's looking double digits.
10? I think Zach Miller steals some of those. I mean, we'll get to Zach Miller's fantasy production, but. And I don't know what this offense is going to be completely. I know Mark Trestman was going to sling it a lot. I don't think mm-hmm. Dal Loggins is going to sling it a lot. I knew Adam Gase was going to open it up at times, you know? I mean, Alshon Jeffrey under Gase averaged 90 yards per game receiving. I haven't seen a lot from Dal Loggins' offense. I think, of course, it's going to be a lot more than what he's shown in the preseason, but you know with John Fox, it's going to be run-heavy. You know they're going to pound Jeremy Langford, Kadeem Carey, Jacquizz Rodgers, Jordan Howard a little bit, so that's going to hinder his production, but in terms of fantasy, I think he's a safe second, third-round pick in fantasy drafts.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, let's look at this. I mean, 2013, he puts up 1,400 yards, and the year after that, he does a 1,133 yards, 10 touchdowns. He had 7 touchdowns the year before. So, I mean, he was putting up pretty decent fantasy numbers, and that was with Brandon Marshall
right,
on the team,
right.
Kind of taking away some of the attention, too. So there's two ways to look at that. I mean, how much was Brandon Marshall's presence helping Alshon Jeffrey get open?
Well, I think the Kevin White presence, even though Kevin White's so,
right, well, and
so
I think
raw
Alshon,
and everything. But
I think Alshon, despite being hurt last year, has actually shown that he can get open without Brandon Marshall.
Yeah.
I think that was proven
in
the limited
agreed.
Time he did play last year. I mean, for him to still put up 54 catches and 800 yards last year, for as banged up as he was.
Yeah.
Only played in 9 games, and when he did play, he was never 100%.
See, to me, these arguments about is he a one wide receiver, right? An elite wide receiver. I think a lot of the scrutiny of him comes down to his demeanor. He's not as loud as Brandon Marshall. He's not as loud as Dez Bryant. I mean, Demaryius Thomas is quiet like him, mm-hmm. at least in some respects, right? I don't know. How many headlines he makes for his words in Denver, but it's nowhere near what Brandon Marshall and Dez Bryant are. I mean, historically, receivers have these huge personalities. Alshon Jeffrey does not. He plays tough. He plays mean, and he plays so big out there. He risks his body all the time for these leaping catches, these diving catches. He makes catches that a lot of receivers, I think, can't make in this league. And look, is he Odell Beckham Jr.? No. Is he Julio Jones? Maybe not. But he's in the conversation of the guys maybe just below those guys.
By the way, these are the same conversations with his contract.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's the same exact
but
thing.
But in terms, if you want to relate it to fantasy, he's going to put up over, again, if healthy, when healthy, whatever, maybe oversold it at 1,208. But I think the Bears would take that.
I think you're underselling.
Yeah.
I do. I mean, I think 1,210 should be the minimum goal for him this year. If he's healthy,
I forgot he had 1,400 yards receiving a couple of years ago.
Yeah. I mean, he's.
I know he had a great year. I know he surpassed 1,000. I didn't think he had that many.
I
remember he had that many.
And that was a messy year. And
Messi's putting that light.
Right, he still did all that. Now this is where things get interesting for me. Who do you put after Alshon on the Bears if you're doing these fantasy rankings just for the Bears roster? Is it Zach Miller? Is it Jeremy Langford? Is it Jay Cutler? And what about Kevin White? I mean, these are the next options.
Yeah, I don't know if White's even in the conversation. Those next three, the running back crop is very, you know, the old fantasy rules, right? You got to go running back first, right? Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, I don't know if
I don't subscribe to that, but
no. And I think recently you see these receivers put up huge numbers. I mean, Antonio Brown, the Steelers star, is wildly considered the number one receiver for a lot of drafts, PPR or whatnot, I should say. Langford will get catches. He's going to be their lead back. He called himself the starter the other day to Rick Talender. So how many touches do you think he gets a game? He's healthy. He's leading the wave.
I still think it's between 15 and 20.
15 and 20?
Yeah.
I was going to say like 20 to 23.
Matt Forte struggled to get 20.
Yeah.
I mean that, and that's that. How many times have we had that conversation? I mean, you got to give Matt Forte the ball at least 20 times to have a chance to win, and it didn't always happen. So, I still do think that Jeremy Langford's going to be the number one back and get the most carries, but I don't think he's going to be the only one out there. I do think that they're going to bring guys in for a series here and there, whether it's Kadeem Carey or Jaquizz Rogers or Jordan Howard.
Well, with Carey, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think Jaquizz Rogers could be more of a – maybe not a
– I don't know.
A third down guy, maybe not a full series guy.
Right. I agree.
You know, Jordan Howard, that's the guy to watch later in the year if Jeremy Langford isn't producing. Okay, best case scenario, what do you think Jeremy Langford produces this year?
Best case scenario.
For him. Not for the Bears, but for him.
Right. Ooh. 1,200 yards?
12 total?
Yeah.
Okay, I was going to say rushing. No. 1,200 total.
Yeah.
I think people would take that fantasy-wise. I think the Bears would take that.
I mean, it's really hard to project. We don't.
Yeah, but 1,200 total. But here's the interesting thing, though. In the whole preseason,
he'll be lucky to break a 1,000 running.
Yeah, yeah. Well, just because of the offensive line issues alone, but
also the carries. I mean,
I know Kadeem Carey was dealing with a concussion throughout the preseason, but Langford was the only one really running with the ones the entire first three preseason.
Oh, he's
games.
Clearly the number one guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm looking at Matt Forte's game log from last year.
Yeah.
Okay. He got 24 in the opener, 20 in week 3, 25 in week 4, 24 in week 6, and then he didn't hit 20 the rest of the season except for week 13 against San Francisco. Granted.
Well, that's when Jeremy Langford emerged when he was hurt, right?
Well, he missed 3 games,
yeah.
But then he still had 6 games the rest of the year, and he only hit 20 in one of those games.
Yeah.
But part of that was because I think the writing was on the wall that Matt Forte was out the door and Jeremy Langford was taking over. So I guess it is conceivable that Langford could get 20 a game, but I still don't think that he's going to get the load that Matt Forte was getting before Langford emerged. Because I think that they already have a better idea of this group starting in week 1.
Yeah.
And they're going to – you can't carry 4 running backs and only use one.
Well, Jaquizz Rogers is, I know he's a running back, but he's more of a, he moves towards that special team. I mean, he's one of their best special teamers. Even Kadeem Carey, he's the lead blocker on kickoff return. I get what you're saying. Here's the thing that's going to excite a lot of people about Jeremy Langford, right? Say he's like your third running back. I mean, he will take a screen pass and take it 60 yards. And there you got 12 points, right? You know, touchdown plus the 60. He's going to be that type of guy. I think that explosiveness and that big playability is always going to be part of his game. I mean, you saw it against the Patriots. One cut, saw a hole down the field to the 5-yard line against the Patriots. I forget how long it was, but 34 yards?
Yeah.
I mean, he was that close to scoring. He's going to have those big plays. For a lot of fantasy teams, considering how thin running back can be four deep leagues, 12-team leagues. I mean, that people will take that.
I just think I'm staying away from the Bears running back situation until I can actually see how this thing plays out. So, I mean, if we're talking about a one-season league here, most people play, I'm probably skipping over the Bears running backs until we're getting later in the draft. If we're talking about a dynasty league, you know, Langford's a good player. I don't know about Kadeem Carey, but I would have some hope.
Kevin White's a good player.
For Jordan Howard, if you're able to get him in your rookie draft this year, I don't think that's a bad pick. But if we're just talking about this year, I'm not touching these Bears running backs in a 1-year draft at this point. Now, Zach Miller,
Mm-hmm.
Are you willing to take the chance on him? Because if he plays 16 games, I think Zach Miller's going to put up big numbers. He has to. He's a good player. He's the only real tight end on this entire roster. We know how much Jay Cutler trusts him and will go to him. If healthy, he puts up big numbers. Can he stay healthy, though? I don't know. So that's the question. Would you draft him or not?
Let me throw some names at you. Look, I'm not going to mention – well, I'm going to mention them now, but your Rob Gronkowski's, your Greg Olson's, Tyler Ertz, Tyler Eifert, I should say. We're getting to the other Ertz here. Do you take Zach Miller before a Zach Ertz? Do you take a Zach Miller before a Julius Thomas? This isn't the Julius Thomas from a couple years ago with Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm.
Do you take a Zach Miller before a Kobe Fleener who – has moved on to the Saints?
But Fleener's getting a lot of love and yet hasn't done anything in the preseason. Mm-hmm. They've been disappointed with him so far down in New Orleans based on what you read. I mean, I'm looking at CBSSports.com's fantasy rankings right here just for tight ends. I'm seeing Zach Miller at number 23. I'm seeing him at number 19. And I'm seeing him at number 17. So way down. Second half of the safeties,
yeah,
or I mean the tight ends in this league, and yet I think if he plays 16 games, he's more of a top 10 tight end.
Yeah,
absolutely. But I don't blame these guys for ranking him where they did. I mean, the question is, can he stay healthy? Like he's not Gronk, he's not Jordan Reed, he's not Greg Olson. Well, let me bring up my situation right here, because I play in a dynasty league. That's mm-hmm. the only thing I do. And last year when Martellus Bennett was my tight end, when he got hurt, Zach Miller was available. So I grabbed him.
Yep.
I had to. It turned out to be a pretty decent move until he got hurt at the end of the year. But so he's still on my roster. And I also have Kobe Fleener, who I drafted when he was a rookie a long time ago, who's basically done nothing, but now is in a decent situation. But between those three guys, I have no idea who to play.
Yeah.
I know Martellus can play, but he's the number two guy to Gronk.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea if Fleener can play still. And I feel pretty good about Zach Miller, but is he going to be healthy? I mean, out of those three guys, week one, I kind of feel like Zach Miller is my best option.
Yeah, yeah. Even though he hasn't played the entire preseason. I don't know what's going to come out of Martellus Bennett. Were you overly impressed about what he was for them when Rob Gronkowski was hurt over those 4 days of practices or three practices in the game?
Not at all. Well, let me. It's the same old Martellus.
Yeah.
The whole 4 days.
Yeah.
It was the attitude. It was the putting on the show in front of the cameras by getting his daughter out there, which is just, sorry, that's what happened.
Yeah.
Let's call it like it is. Then he blows us off. And that's Martellus. And then, so off the field, same stuff. On the field, we talked last week about how he was just walking back, basically from drill to drill. Even he's doing one-on-ones with Tom Brady.
Yeah, yeah.
And he can't even give Brady the respect to get back to the line of scrimmage. Okay, and then the game comes around Thursday, though. Looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Made some nice plays. Looked like a mismatch, a guy that's hard to cover. Guy who's willing, when he's willing to block, is a pretty good blocker.
And he's in a contract year.
Yep.
A lot of fantasy owners like that. They kind of mark those guys in their books.
Yeah, but he's still got Gronk to deal
yeah,
with.
Yeah, yeah. See, I look at Rob Gronkowski as a wide receiver. That's the type of numbers he puts up.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Better than a lot of wide receivers.
Yeah, I mean, that's how Jimmy Graham was
the first
4 years I had him in this dynasty league we do.
Yeah.
He was unbelievable.
Boy,
he
just slipped off the map since going to Seattle, huh?
Yep.
So, Kevin White. Look, remember the 2014 class of receivers? Just how good they were.
Yeah.
Your Odell Beckham kind of leading the way.
Mm-hmm.
And how they kind of changed the narrative for the 2015 class, saying that nowadays you have these young receivers coming in, and because they run so many different routes in college, that they could be contributors almost immediately. That never was the case for Kevin White,
right,
though, because of what he ran at West Virginia. All the talent in the world, clearly still learning how to be a complete NFL receiver. I don't think, like, Amari Cooper was the only special receiver last year. right? I mean, he had some other guys from later rounds, kind of, who's the guy at Minnesota? He burnt the Bears, actually, pretty bad.
Oh, the rookie out of, well, now he's a second-year player out of Stephon Diggs from Maryland.
Yeah, but he was a late pick.
Yeah,
right?
He's a fourth or fifth-round pick. He had some off-the-field issues. I thought the Bears should have taken a look at him late.
Yeah, so
I had him in one of my Bears mock drafts.
I'm not completely ruling out amazing things for Kevin White here, but I need evidence first, right? He's looked great in practice. He was awesome in New England. He was one of the best players in the field during those joint practices, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But in the games, for whatever reason, I just think in general, when your quarterback is saying he's got some growing pains to get through, that's him saying, okay, my chemistry with him is just not good right now. I don't know where he's going to be, and I just can't count on him. I'd rather just go to Alshon and Zach Miller right now.
You're referring to what Cutler said after the game on
yes.
Saturday, right?
He said it twice.
Right.
Growing pains coming for Kevin White.
Now, Kevin clearly ran the wrong route in that game.
Yeah.
And had a drop.
Mm-hmm.
And Jay just went through one of the worst games we've ever seen him play.
Yeah.
And let me clarify. He wasn't good, but it certainly wasn't all his fault.
Yeah.
But I guess just as a whole, the amount of times he dropped back to throw a pass.
Yeah.
And actually had something positive happen.
Well,
I have to imagine that Jay came out of that game going, that was one of the worst experiences I've ever had on that field.
Look who he was playing behind, in all due respect to those guys.
Right.
They were – it's a new offensive line. Cornelius Edison's still getting his feet wet. You have your best guards not playing.
Yeah.
Your best players not playing. You got all sorts of offensive line issues for that game.
But my point is – while I think Cutler did a good job of masking the frustration that was clearly in his head,
really? I thought
it kind of
slipped.
Well,
it did.
It showed through a little bit with Kevin White. So you can either look at that like it was a moment of truth,
yeah,
or maybe he was a little bit more critical just because of that's just what happened.
Yeah,
I mean, to me, that's the worst Kevin White's looked the entire
preseason.
I can't think of a worse day he's had. There's been slip ups here and there.
Yeah.
But overall, he was pretty good in Bourbonnais.
Well, it's so hard to judge what's going on in Bourbonnais, though. Yeah. You know, like, it's a practice. All right, we mentioned him. We just talked to him about his frustrations. Jay Cutler. Let me give you a list here from our fantasy sports expert, Jeff mm-hmm. Agress, at the Sun Times. And here are his top 20 quarterbacks.
Okay.
You ready? Cam Newton. Aaron Rodgers. Russell Wilson, Andrew Luck. We're at five now. Drew Brees. Six, Tom Brady. Seven, Carson Palmer. Eight, Eli Manning. Nine, Philip Rivers. 10, Ben Roethlisberger. 11, Tyrod Taylor.
Jesus.
I know. People love him. I mean, they love him up there. Anyway, yeah. I'm getting away here. 12, Kirk Cousins. 13, Derek Carr. 14, Blake Bortles. 15, Matthew Stafford. 16, Andy Dalton. 17, Jameis Winston. 18, Marcus Mariota. 19, Ryan Tannehill. 20, Matt Ryan.
No Jay Cutler.
No Jay Cutler.
I mean, Jay just, look, it is what it is. He doesn't get respect.
But this is fantasy's winning football games and fantasy, winning fantasy football games are different. We're talking about pure per game player production.
Yeah. And Jay doesn't put up big numbers.
No.
But he's a very good backup, though, in fantasy football. I mean, he's maybe one of the best backups you could have.
Yeah.
I think I'm looking at rankings right here that have him 27th, with Dak Prescott ranked ahead of him.
Well, that's just...
With
all right, now that's silly.
Trevor Siemian. The pride of Northwestern, ranked ahead of Jay.
That's just silly.
This is ridiculous.
You know, okay,
you want to name the top 10 guys and give me, you know, the names you did. Newton, Rodgers, Luck, Wilson, Breeze, Palmer, Brady, Eli Manning, Philip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger, of course. But and even, while I think I'd rather have Jay instead of Matthew Stafford as my starter in real football, Stafford puts up bigger numbers in Detroit. He just does.
Yeah, well, he slings it a ton.
So from a fantasy football standpoint, I get that too. When we started talking about Tyrod Taylor and, you know, even Kirk Cousins, your guy Kirk Cousins that you love.
I did like him a lot last year.
Marcus Mariota. I love Mariota coming out of Oregon. He's still got a ways to go. Some of these guys ranked 10 spots ahead of Jay Cutler is just ridiculous. But, you know, I don't know how much these rankings are adjusted based on preseason results. Yeah. And the Bears' offense looks awful right
yeah.
now. It just looks really, really bad. So from that perspective, you know, Jay's going to be available late
yeah.
in drafts. And if he's your backup, I think that's a great backup to grab.
He's got – here's what intrigues me about Cutler, at least individually, statistically. Forget the offensive line for a second. I don't know if he'll miss Matt Forte that much. I know he used to call him a safety blanket, loved having him out there, yada, yada, yada. But the Alshon Jeffrey rapport is there. We talked about the Kevin White situation. The Zach Miller connection is there. Eddie Royal, I think that still exists. Jeremy Langford has, again, could take a screen pass that Matt Forte would take for 30 yards to Jeremy Langford could take it to the house. That all helps Jay Cutler's numbers. I'm not talking about an all-pro season here for Jay Cutler. But statistically, I could foresee, if healthy, all these guys are healthy and some other things happen, a better statistical season than last year. Now, I don't know what that means for his passer rating and all that stuff, but more touchdowns and more yards.
Yeah.
You're not sold.
Maybe I'm just thinking about these preseason games too much. I'm not ruling it out. It's been a tough...
Yeah, but you're missing your top tight end. You're missing your slot receiver.
You're also missing Adam Gase, though.
Yeah.
And I think that matters.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. We can't make conclusions on Dow Loggins yet.
Yep.
But I think losing Adam Gase matters. All right, we've talked about the main fantasy options on the Bears. Any sleepers, though, on this team?
On the Bears?
I mean, what about Mark Mariani? Now,
you're laughing over there.
In my Dynasty League, I won a game last year with Marquise Wilson because...
You picked him up for the Chiefs game?
I did. The Bears were out so many guys, and I had... Now, we have 28 guys on our roster because it's a Dynasty League.
Right.
And I had him on there for like a dollar that just, you know, just stashed way down there. And I looked at the matchups that week, and I looked at this game, and I'm sitting there in the Arrowhead Stadium press box before the game, and I'm going, who else is Jay going to throw the ball to today?
Yeah.
And I threw him in my flex spot last minute, and he ended up putting up 20 points that day, and I won by like
great
five.
Game. Yeah.
It was great. It was a great move. Now, that's not the kind of game that most people play.
No.
And you don't have 28 roster spots.
No.
And I can't imagine that anybody with the normal amount of roster spots, whatever that is.
Well, you got three wide receiver spots. Mark Mariani.
But I'm talking about even on your bench. Like, you're not carrying Mark Mariani on your bench.
No, no. Well, you never know. I mean, not now because this guy's not an established receiver. I think he's, at least in my opinion and the Bears' opinion, he's established himself as a viable receiver. Mm-hmm. Cutler likes him. Now, what does that mean on the field type of production? Say he does make the team and he plays off 16 and he's their number three receiver over Eddie Royal. What's that? 400 yards, two touchdowns, maybe? Maybe he surprises you with a two-touchdown game for whatever reason. I like him. I think he's looked great since the preseason is open. It really down to Bourbonnais, but sleeper picks on this Bears team.
There's not many.
Jordan Howard. I don't know. I mean, he's the guy to watch later in the year.
If Langford were to get hurt,
yes,
I think Jordan Howard has tremendous value.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It'll be interesting to watch that running back.
How about
situation
the Bears' defense?
I saw...
You need takeaways.
We have to do, like, free agency in our league, and someone actually paid a decent amount for the Bears' defense, I think.
In your Dynasty League?
Here's the thing. Yeah, that like you brought up. I mean, they're showing more of an ability to take the ball away. But I still don't think it's going to be Lovie Smith level.
No.
And there's still no return.
Well,
game.
If you're not getting the turnovers, you need the sack numbers, right? You need the low point totals.
But you're not getting returns.
Yeah.
I mean, no one's returned.
I think their sack numbers will be up.
Okay. Yeah, that's possible. But is that enough? I mean,
they had a decent point total.
With your defense special teams, you're looking for touchdowns.
Yeah, you want that surprise win on your defense's coattails. But, yeah, whoever had the Lovie Smith defense in, 2012 is really
– I used to draft them every year.
Really? Because of what Lovie did with them?
Oh, my God. I mean, well, not only that, you had Devin Hester.
Yeah.
Between the Bears – Charles Tillman and Brian Urlacher, these guys were returning
– Some leagues don't allow – that would go to Devin Hester, the receiver.
That's dumb.
Yeah.
No, it's defense special teams.
Yeah.
And you get a special teams touchdown. Oh, man. I mean, the year they went to the Super Bowl –
Yeah.
The Bears' defense was like an extra wide receiver.
Yeah.
They were putting up 20 points a week.
Right.
It was crazy.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Anything else from a fantasy standpoint? I think we should probably...
Yeah, questions?
Oh, yeah. That's what I was thinking of. Questions. Who should I start week one, Hoge or Johns?
Oh, Johns. Completely.
That's from our guy Aaron Lemming.
Chiming
in. You got to go Hoge in that situation. I mean, think about the height, the length.
Yeah.
Shows up on time, pays off his bets.
So we have questionable character.
Questionable character off the field with Johns. I mean, come on.
Anyway.
This is a no-brainer.
Anyway. Let's get serious here, Lemming.
Yeah. All right. This is, a dynasty question here. With Eddie Royal's age and Marquise Wilson's injuries, is Daniel Braverman a good, deep roster stash? Can't recall if you had him on your 53, though. I don't have Daniel Braverman on my 53. I think he's destined for the practice squad. But
if it's a deep dynasty stash...
From a dynasty standpoint, I can actually tell you that a few weeks ago, it crossed my mind... Hey, maybe he's a guy that you would want to.
Because,
again, I mentioned for these dynasty leagues, at least ours, we have 28 roster spots.
Yeah.
And you can stash guys at the bottom. But I was, I thought about it and I was like, no. Got to see him do something.
Yeah.
Got to see him make the team at least. Depending on how your league works, I mean, yeah, you can pick him up for almost nothing and stash him on there. And if he turns out being a good player, even in a year or two, it's a great pickup. But, I mean, is there a chance he's not a Bear by the end of the week?
No, they're not going to completely give up on him.
I don't think so either. But if they do waive him, he could get claimed.
Yes.
That's my
point.
But
then at that point, he's got to go to the active roster, right?
Exactly.
That other team.
Yeah. And I can't see that happening because is another team out there going to claim a guy who hasn't really shown anything in the preseason. He's shown some things in practice.
Yeah.
But not in these games. So there's not a whole lot of tape. He's small. He doesn't have the size. He just doesn't fit the bill as someone who's going to get picked up and thrown on a 53-man roster.
You know who's got tape of him? Bill Belichick.
Oh, that's true.
You know who likes guys
like
him?
Yeah, he does. But is he going to put him on his 53?
No. But then maybe he... Maybe then later on the week after that, he tries to stash him on his practice squad.
Well, that's what I'm... Yeah, if he clears waivers, he can sign with anybody's practice squad.
Yeah.
And now, in that situation, I think he probably sticks with the Bears.
Bears, right. Yeah.
That's
just good form.
But if Bill Belichick gives you a call, that's pretty tempting. I'm not going to lie.
And there is a history of guys built like Daniel Braverman going back to Troy Brown that succeed for Bill Belichick. Unheralded guys, smaller guys who just know how to play football, smart football.
Yeah. So that's a good question. If you're playing a regular league,
obviously.
Not a good
obvious
question.
Answers. Yeah.
All right, drafted AB number one. Zeke went number two. AB is Antonio Brown. I have A.B., Watkins, Cooper as my starting wide receivers, but Duke...
He's got Sammy Watkins, too. How many guys are in this guy's league?
Oh, he ended up with Brown, Watkins, and Amari Cooper.
Who's his running back?
Well, his running backs are Duke and D'Angelo.
Okay.
That's not good.
So he went receiver early.
This is Tommy Dobbs on Twitter, by the way. Tempted to swap Antonio Brown and Zeke.
Wait, when did he get Zeke?
Oh, Zeke went number two. He doesn't have Zeke. He's tempted. I think he's asking if he could trade.
Okay.
Especially with Romo going down, figure they're going to run the ball even more.
No, I'd keep with Brown. Yeah. In terms of like
deep and wide out, though.
Still.
But you can play all three guys.
Yeah. Why? That's a position of strength for you. And I get where it's still, I guess it still is a position of strength if you get rid of.
I think Zeke's going to have a big year. He looks really good.
Yeah. It's a great offensive line. I get it. He's still a rookie, though.
It's crazy. Zeke Elliott went number two in that draft, in this fantasy draft.
Yeah.
That's high expectations for a guy who's never
bold.
Been on the field.
That's bold. Yeah. I would take Gurley over him.
Ooh. They're both really good.
So good.
They're both really good. And I think Zeke's going to be.
Well, he's got that offensive line.
Just, I mean, I
but,
watched.
But here's the thing. These teams, yeah, they're going to run the ball more with Romo out, but they're going to dare Dak Prescott to do exactly what he's done in the preseason. And these are going to be different defenses he's facing. They'll load the box. They'll stop the run, and they'll make Dak Prescott beat them.
Yeah. And by the way, I'm a believer of you don't have to be – you can get away with not having good running backs if you're stacked at wide receiver.
Yeah.
If the rest of your team's good, I'm not a huge believer in the you have to go running back early. I don't have any problem with that whatsoever. And, in fact, I think you can take advantage of other guys that do think that way. All right, let's get to some of this Bears stuff before we get out of here. First, I should tell you that, as always, Intentional Grounding is brought to you by CJ Wilson Mazda and the Zoom Zoom Nation. Let me tell you one thing about CJ Wilson Mazda. They're not your typical dealership. There's no suits, no high-pressure sales, just regular people who treat you like a neighbor. They have special monthly incentives all month long, which make it great time to buy or trade. The other thing you should know is that the good people at CJ Wilson Mazda are always trying to make your car shopping fun. You can test drive a CJ Wilson Mazda in Orland Park, Countryside, and Lake Villa, and always online at ZoomZoomNation.com. All right, so preseason finale in Cleveland. Neither of us are even going.
No.
Just for full disclosure. My sister's getting married this weekend. They got priorities.
Yeah, you got to do what you got
to
do.
Going to Wisconsin. I'll actually be watching this game in Wisconsin.
By tomorrow, you're going to be up there? Oh, we got the rehearsal dinner?
We're going up to Madison tomorrow, the rest of the way on Friday.
Yeah.
I found out, this is surprising, but the Bears actually have a preseason TV affiliate in Madison, Wisconsin.
Really?
Yeah. So it's actually on TV there.
Yeah.
It should be.
Yeah.
I always think the Blackhawks should take advantage of that market.
I feel like they are shown in a lot of Wisconsin markets. No, but you would know.
When I was in college, there was always Wild. You can get Minnesota Wild games because they had Fox Sports North.
Yeah.
But they didn't have.
But when we were in college, the Blackhawks weren't even on TV. At least
that's true. Actually,
for me,
same with me.
Yeah,
that was one thing.
I mean, we're young, but we're old at the same time. Yeah.
I always thought that I was. You know, here's you have Madison and Milwaukee, two markets really close. And as soon as you go across the border, you really can't get the Chicago channels. Yeah. And I always thought that was that the Blackhawks had. Tap into that.
So you'll be sitting at a local establishment in Madison watching David Fales play for his Bears life?
I'll probably be sitting on my in-laws' couch.
Watch David Fales play for his Bears life?
Yes. But speaking of that, is David Fales playing for his Bears life?
Yes.
But you don't think he'll end up on the practice squad?
No, because I don't think he... Look, this is a guy who wants a chance, and he's been here... 3 years now?
Well, I brought up my story yesterday that he might as well sign somewhere else.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying. Yeah.
I mean, for 2 years in a row, a team has tried to sign him off the Bears practice squad. The Patriots,
Bears didn't let him.
The Chargers, the Ravens, and I forget the other team, but those three teams and another over the past 2 years have tried to sign this guy.
And he looked like the backup going into the offseason. Then they go out and they sign Brian Hoyer. Then they go out and sign Connor Shaw.
Yeah.
And Connor Shaw passes him off.
Yeah. I mean, Counter Shaw passes David Fales. David Fales didn't play in two preseason games. Counter Shaw, his leg just bursts, right? Screaming in pain. Brian Hoyer getting knocked out with some bruised ribs. Who do they send back in? Brian Hoyer.
Yeah, you know? That was telling. Yeah.
So if I'm Fales, screw this situation. Why would you come back if you're trying to get place in the practice squad?
Yeah, it's a very important game for him because he's going to have an opportunity to kind of audition for the rest of the league.
Yes, you nailed it right there. This isn't an audition for the Bears. It's an audition for himself.
But
in
what if he plays pretty well and the Bears are offering a practice squad spot? You don't even consider it?
Yeah, you've spent there two years
you've
on
that. You've seen that Brian Hoyer hasn't really been all that good.
Yeah.
But Jay's not going anywhere. And John Fox spoke very highly of Connor Shaw the other day.
Oh, yeah.
And they put him on – Connor Shaw's still on the team. I mean,
yeah, he's on IR. He's coming back.
He's on the team for next year.
Yeah, if I'm David Fales, I move on. That's the right business choice for him.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you. So, but he's got to play. Now, here's what's interesting.
He's going to lay it. I feel like he's going to lay it up
tomorrow.
Do you
just start him? Have him play the whole game?
Yeah. You can't risk Brian Hoyer getting banged up again, right?
I mean, I can make the argument that the Bears starters should play a little bit. You're going in the season with that Chiefs game as your last. Here's why you don't do that, though. Because Kyle Long's still not playing.
Yeah.
And the offensive line isn't going to be much better.
No. All it takes is one little slight hit, and all of a sudden Zach Miller's feeling woozy again, and he's in concussion protocol, right? At least let that be against the Houston Texans and not the Cleveland Browns.
Maybe Teddy Bridgewater's injury made every team in the league go, yeah.
Well, RG3's going to be out there. Drew Brees is playing in the fourth
maybe
preseason.
Maybe Hugh Jackson
game.
Changes his mind.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a freakish thing up there. I feel bad for the guy.
Oh,
man,
I feel really bad.
Awful.
And that's a serious injury.
Yeah.
Dislocated knee.
The ACL is not the
issue. That's like the minor. Yeah. Yeah, that's like least worrisome part.
Man. Anyway, but who are you watching specifically? Which players?
Ego Ferguson is one.
Yeah, I was
going
to mention him.
Ego Ferguson is a guy that I think this is probably going to be his last game as a Chicago Bear.
Yep.
But maybe he has a chance. Maybe someone else gets hurt in this game. But I think right now Will Sutton and Cornelius Washington are sitting pretty good.
Yeah.
And I still think Terry Williams would be kept over Ego.
I think Terry Williams is going back to the practice squad.
Well, right. That's why Sutton has the advantage. So then they could keep Ego as their fifth.
No. Yeah. You have Hicks, Goldman, Unrein, Bullard, Washington, and Sutton.
Yeah, so
there's six interior defensive linemen.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Ego's probably out.
Yeah. So, second round pick. He was picked in the top 50, wasn't he? 45?
I believe
48?
So, yeah. Well, yeah, because, let's see, the Bears that year were drafting kind of right in the middle.
14, right?
Yeah.
Oh, so, yeah.
But it might have been that year that they were six teams were tied.
Yeah. Yeah, I forget. So, but yeah. You know what? That is, I don't know. Well, we could get going on.
I have some other interesting names. You play Leonard Floyd? I think he should play. I think he needs the reps.
He needs the action. He didn't play last week.
I know. But that tells me that he's not going to play.
Yeah.
The fact that they held him out when he was dressed and looked eager to get in the game,
mm-hmm.
that tells me that they're just like, all right, they obviously think way higher of Leonard Floyd than we do from what we've seen so far.
I think the rain, it rained a lot that morning. Yeah. And they got the tarp. It was kind of muggy.
But if you can't trust your own turf, then that's a whole different story.
Well, it's not just
it was sunny in the middle of the game.
He had the funny hamstring he's been dealing with. Yeah. That turf was bad. It's gonna look.
I would play him, but because he doesn't even look like if he were to get hurt, I don't even know that'd be that big of a deal.
Well, you need him.
Do you?
Yeah.
We don't even know if he can play.
He has to play because Pernell McPhee's not going to play. Who's your other outside linebacker? Christian Jones, who moved back to the inside?
Well, that's another thing.
I mean, you need... I mean, Sam Astro can't back up two guys. I mean...
Yeah, I don't know. Well...
You don't want your pass rushers playing every single down. You need them.
Here's another one. Nick Kwiatkowski.
Well, he's going to make
this
team.
What did Kwiatkowski or whatever John Fox called him the other day?
Yeah, he got it wrong. Not as bad as Tayo Fabaluje, but he got it wrong.
It was pretty bad.
Well, they're going to take, as Fox said, a leap of faith on this guy.
Well, they have to. He's a fourth-round pick. You can't cut him.
Fourth-round pick they traded up for.
Right, you can't cut him.
No.
You cut him, he gets picked up immediately. He's claimed off of waivers right away. It's just unfortunately he's been hurt. So you got to play him this game. You got to see what he can do.
Yeah.
But is he healthy enough? He was limited in practice this week. Yeah.
Oh, man, if he doesn't play, he makes the team.
Yeah.
It's a weird message. But I think most players understand situations like this. You would think, or agents would convey certain messages like this, you know. He was drafted by them. He's already, they like him. Mm-hmm. You have to do so much to beat out that like.
And then with the wide receivers.
That's the most interesting competition.
And I don't know that we're going to get anything solved. I mean, but this is very interesting because it involves the returners too.
With Deontay Thompson, your best kick returner, mm-hmm. maybe your best kick returner's not going to play because his ankle.
Has he done enough that if right now he's projected to come back week one, that they stick with him?
He'll be ready week one, you think?
I don't know if he will be.
Yeah.
But I'm saying if the Bears feel like he'll be ready week one.
Look, we're not talking about...
Because I don't know that B.J. Daniels, who even if he looks like a decent returner, has shown anything as a wide receiver.
No, Mark Mariani is going to be your lead returner week one. Fans are going to hate it, but that's what it's going to be.
Yeah, even as the kick returner, if Deontay can't play.
Right. I mean, he's your number one punt returner to begin with anyway, Mark Mariani.
But, I mean...
Cam Meredith,
tough
Josh
decision.
Bellamy.
Right.
The Braverman thing we went over.
What about Eddie Royal still? Now, I'm convinced now that Eddie's staying on this team because you would have cut him at 75.
Yes.
If you were going to let him go. Yeah. He was healthy, a clear-cut concussion protocol. Yeah. You could have let him go at 75 instead of 53, giving him this week to land on his feet. That's just good
stuff. No, he's on the team. Yeah,
he's on the team. So, now Marquise Wilson's probably headed to PUP or staying on PUP. So he's out for the first 6 weeks.
So, our four locks... Alshon, Kevin White, Eddie Royal, Mark Mariani.
Mm-hmm.
You keep two more, right?
Right. That's where I think Bellamy's fine because he's your one of your better special teamers. He's your best special teamer wide receiver.
Yes.
I would even say he's more valuable in coverage than Deontay Thompson as a returner. Thompson's,
very good point.
Thompson's fine.
But he's not.
But he's replaceable.
Yes.
Bellamy is a pretty solid cover guy.
Yes. A lot of people are in love with Deontay Thompson, and I get it, but he hasn't shown this for an extended period of time. It was like one game he did that, right?
Well, and the results were so poor before he got that job last year that it was like anybody who could get past the 20 was going to look
and
good.
People forget how many players they changed last year on special teams.
Remember it took the Bears like 4 weeks to get past the 16-yard line on a kick return last year?
Yeah, and it's not all the returner's job.
No.
You know?
But...
I mean, you looked at some of that video. There are rookies out there missing blocks like it was... that's what they were assigned to do, was miss the block.
So do you keep Cam Meredith or Deontay Thompson then? Meredith is going to give you a better ability... to fill in for either White or Jeffrey on the outside.
I think you keep Cam Meredith, and you try to get Daniel Braverman on your practice squad.
And you
see, Deontay Thompson, you could cut and bring back.
You don't think he'll get picked up?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
Not with an injury.
This is where I feel like a job could be won or lost. I mean, someone's got to play in this game. White's not going to play. Jeffrey's not going to play. Royal's not going to play. I don't think Mariani's going to play. So who's starting the game? Cam Meredith. I mean, your four wide receivers, if Deontay can't go in this, if Deontay Thompson can't play, your four wide receivers who play are going to be Cam Meredith, Josh Bellamy, Daniel Braverman, and B.J. Daniels.
Yeah. And here's the thing, though. Those 48, 45 to 53-man roster spots are always in flux, right? Demetri Hurst has been on and off this team for like three straight years. The guy's got like nine lives. You know, it's...
That's a good point. Some guys just don't get picked up by other teams.
Yeah, you know, guys like their own guys. Mm-hmm. You know, coaches like who they like. So, you know, you could probably get away with releasing a Deontay Thompson, bringing him back later if you need to, you know?
But then Mariani's your kick returner. B.J. Daniels can also go to your practice squad.
Yes. No, can he? You sure? He's been around for a while.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong on that one.
I feel like he's been...
Okay.
You know what? Practice squad rule, I don't have him in front of me.
Well, you can keep four guys now who I think are in their third year.
Yes, which is why David Fales is right. Still eligible. I don't know what year. He's older than I thought he was when I went through his bio.
Okay. Interesting. All right. Real quick. Does Kyle Long play week one?
Yes.
I think so, too.
Pernell McPhee?
It's not looking good.
Pup or no pup?
It's looking like pup.
Yes.
Now, look, you and I were on this in the summer when we were doing these podcasts before Bourbonnais. And we both kind of hinted that it seemed like there was a possibility he started camp on the pup list.
Yes.
The message that was sort of conveyed at the beginning of camp, while they didn't give a timeline.
Well, they said no preseason games.
Right. So the thinking was that regular season was the goal.
Yes.
We talked to the general manager in New England. I took away from that conversation that the plan was still for him to be there week one.
Mm-hmm.
But that was still 3 weeks out from the regular season.
Okay, do you keep him on... you put him on the 53 when he could be ready week three?
I would.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because he is doing stuff.
Right, and you got seven inactives every week anyway.
Yeah. Look, and we can't be specific. He's doing football moves. I'll just leave it at that.
Ooh, it's a tough... It's a tough call, but yeah, I think if he's going to miss 3 weeks, but he'll play in the next 3 weeks, well, ideally.
Yeah.
Then you play him. Or activate him.
Can they beat the Houston Texans without him? Yes.
Well, yeah, because he hasn't done anything.
Exactly, okay.
I mean, we don't know what even kind of shape he's in.
Right. So they would even have him, you know, even if he was activated or on the roster. Whatever.
Remember, this is a knee injury.
Yes.
His conditioning here is in question.
Yes. So can they beat Brock Osweiler and a possibly J.J. Watt-less Texans? Yes.
Yeah, J.J.'s going to play, though.
But he's still, again, it's like the Pernell McPhee thing. I know J.J. Watt's
I've seen J.J. Watt plays through so many injuries.
He hasn't done anything in so long.
If you think J.J. Watt watched that Chiefs game the other day, I mean, I could just see him sitting at home watching that game going, oh, man, four sacks, week one.
Adam is biased.
Bring it on.
He does have his I Love Bucky mug. Anyway.
I'm so biased about the best player best defensive player in the entire league.
Still, he's missed some time, so he's not going to be the J.J. Watt we know, at least I think, in week one.
Two sacks, week one, J.J. Watt.
They could beat the Texans. The Bears could beat the Texans.
Really? Based on what?
What gives you the idea that the Texans are that much of a favored team over the Bears?
That they...
Brock Osweiler is going to...
That they didn't do what the Bears did the other day?
It's a preseason game. It means nothing. Care. Yeah. They went 0-4.
Kyle Long's not going to be 100%.
He's going to be in better
the percent
Texans
than
J.J. Watt.
Texans are going to know which shoulder's wrong, which shoulder's hurt.
Probably pretty early on, but still, the Houston Texans. We're not talking about the Green
Bay
Packers.
They made the playoffs last year with Brian Hoyer.
Yeah.
Brock Osweiler beat the Bears last year
with the best defense in the league, the Super Bowl winning defense.
That's true.
They could beat the Texans. All right, week two, Philadelphia Eagles. I'm just this is all, I'm this yeah. is the whole context of the McAfee thing.
Yeah, I know.
They could hang with these teams. They can hang with the Texans. Give me that.
Well, I'll say if they they can hang.
Brock Osweiler's not going to light them up for 400 yards and four touchdowns.
If they go 1-2 in the first 3 weeks, it's a win.
Okay.
And the Cowboys are sitting there in week 3. They're not going to have Tony Romo.
Yeah. I know everybody's in love with Dak Prescott, but there's no guarantee that's going to carry over.
Man, talk about
Yeah, the Eagles.
What if Dak Prescott lights up the Bears?
Oh.
They had four chances or three chances to draft him in the fourth round.
They passed. But again, let's not. Can we not go crazy over preseason success?
No, that's fine. He looks pretty good, though. He looks pretty
good.
What
did I just ask? Anyway, again, it's not like they're playing the Patriots, the Packers, and the Vikings. Even
it's not like last year when they started against the who's week one?
The Packers. No, it wasn't week one. Packers were early on though.
Well, they had the Cardinals week two, and they had it was the Packers.
Yeah, it was the Packers.
Packers at home, Cardinals at home, and on the road at Seattle.
Yeah, so
that was a brutal start.
Yeah, it's nothing like that at all.
It's easier this year.
Yes. And you're getting teams in unique situations.
Although you are going on the road twice.
Yeah. Still, again, it's not.
Two of those games are in primetime. The Bears tend to play well in primetime. Mm-hmm. For
Jay
whatever
Cutler
reason.
Tends to play.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, so.
So that's a good point.
Just saying.
I think I made the point, good point by me.
This is all. You're coming around. Again, going back to the Pernell McPhee thing. If you feel like he's going to be ready for that week 3 game against Dak Prescott, you know, I'm just saying, like, it's not like you're playing a bunch of world beaters the first couple weeks. You could hang with these teams without Pernell McPhee.
I don't think you're giving
the Texans
enough credit. I could see it now. Sometimes next Friday,
I'm picking the Bears.
There's the win.
I gotta get my pick in by Tuesday. I'm leaning Bears.
You're 4 days to lay that one out.
Yeah, yeah.
Got it.
Definitely leaning Bears.
All right. Anything else?
Play your segment.
Oh, yeah. I haven't even done that yet. We should have done that earlier. Whoops. Yeah. Definitely got to get our boy.
He's got too many fantasy profiles up on his computer.
Here's our guy, John Fox. What does the Fox say?
In many cases, those were our ones for that week, which has been our case really in the first 3 weeks.
What
the fuck,
say? What?
I don't know. I'm going to give him a little credit, though.
When he said that yesterday, I was like, excuse me?
Yeah, yeah. I'm only going to give him a little credit, though, this week because he's been very forthright, very forthcoming on McPhee and Kyle Long, on injured guys.
Thanks, David Haw.
He's giving it home because Haw went after him.
In many cases, those were our ones for that week, which has been our case really in the first 3 weeks.
What?
Just take a picture of your face and tweet it out. Look at this face.
If someone had taken a picture of my face when he said that yesterday, it would have looked the same.
I think people
will
get
at him like he had three heads.
People will get a kick out of the faces the media members make to each other.
Yeah,
whether it's Fox or other players make comments, and we just look at each other like, "Did he just say that, or what was that?"
It happens a lot.
In many cases, those were our ones for that week, which has been our case really in the first 3 weeks.
Still doesn't make any sense. All right.
I got to go to bed.
And you're giving him credit for...
Yeah.
I'll give him credit for Kyle Long. I think he put up with your questioning on Pernell McPhee the other day. I don't know that he really said anything.
Put up with my questioning.
Did he really say anything?
I think I got answers out of him. I don't know.
He said he was doing football movement skills, right?
Yeah.
Is that what he said?
You know, but then we talked about the possibility of keeping him on PUP. You got to read the tea leaves with him, you know? But we had to press him on it. I had to press him on it. I went in there with that goal.
Well, you got what you needed. He did answer more of that than I thought he would. But
He could have completely dismissed me.
He could have. And the Kyle Long stuff was surprising.
Yes.
For him just to say that he's going to be out there.
Yes.
Now, is he going to practice, John? There. He'll be out there. But still.
Out there is better than that being out
pretty
there.
Pretty telling. All right, this was Intentional Grounding, episode 45. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Read us at WGNRadio.com/Bears Chicago, suntimes.com. Search Intentional Grounding, find the podcast, subscribe, rate it, review it. We appreciate you doing that. Enjoy Cleveland, those of you who are going. We are not. But we'll be back next week with a preview of a real game.
Finally.
Finally. We're getting there. All right, talk to you guys next week.